your name in Jesus' precious name. It is with great joy that we would like to receive God's servant, Bishop David Oabioye, for this first word this afternoon. Give the Lord the praise for the great blessing that he is to us, that he is to this ministry. Please, you might be seated.
In our seated position, let's wave our hands to the Lord again and thank him truly from the depth of our hearts. Let's deeply appreciate him, all that he's done for us since the day began. The day has been loaded according to his word. He loaded us daily with his benefits. Somebody join me to thank God from the depth of your heart and thank him again for his word that is coming to us this afternoon. To him alone be the glory forever. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again this afternoon for all you've been doing for us since the day began and all you have in stock for us again this afternoon. Give us understanding, Lord. Give us understanding, Lord. Understanding is of you. Give us understanding, Lord. Make us see that which we need to see in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. This afternoon, I want to count a great privilege again for another opportunity that I've received from the Lord and from his servant to bring to us a second part of the teaching I was privileged to be given utterance to teach. And that is, wisdom is the master builder. I want to again appreciate my father in the faith, my mentor in ministry, and my boss at work for this privilege. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 to 4 is our text. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. Every ministry here shall be established. Amen. Join me, say loud, amen. Amen. And by understanding it is established. And the following verse said, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled. That is continuous increase, no reduction, no emptiness. These are significant and specific functions. The house is built through wisdom, through understanding, through structures. It is established. Through knowledge, additions are made. That's God's plan. He wants us to be on the increase. He wants us to move from church growth to church establishment and from church establishment to church spread. That is what gives continuous relevance to the ministry. And this is going to be made happen in our ministries represented here in the name of Jesus. Building any structure demands wisdom. Wisdom in the sense of skillfulness and expertise, beginning from foundation to finish. There is no part of the building that does not require wisdom. Of course, foundation is most important. But if you have foundation, you can't go to live inside foundation. You need to build the walls. That's not enough. You need to put roof on top and other conveniences. Now, the kind of building you expect will determine the kind of expertise you welcome. In the morning, God's servant told us of the Freddie Crissy Price Hall that was built in Kaduna, Garden of Faith. And he repeated again this morning. He said he just told four people, you stand in that corner, stand in that corner, stand in that corner, and stand in that corner. But you can't do that, or we couldn't have done that for Faith Tabernacle. Now, there is no way we can do that, what we did in Faith Tabernacle, do in the Ark project. The size of the building you want to construct will require different levels of expertise and skills. Four people stand in a corner each to build a hall that does not require deep foundation. But these ones that must go high must first go deep. So at that time, when that hall was to be built, no architect was called, no structural engineer was called. Simple building. But you want to build this one, you know, you need to know the number of architects that are there now. The number of structural engineers that are there. So a great ministry will require great expertise to be built. Great skills will be required. As it applies, we need spiritual architects, we need spiritual mechanical engineers, we need spiritual electrical engineers, structural engineers. Now, I've said this to let us know that building the ministry is not a child's play. It is for people who are willing and ready to work, not only engaging the spiritual forces, but all the mental forces that will be required. Building is a specialist duty, hence the need for wisdom. Now, let's look at two examples, one from the Old and the second from the New Testament. For instance, Moses, the greatest pastor that ever lived, had the spirit of wisdom at work in him. With a 3 million great congregation under his pastoral ministry in the wilderness. In Deuteronomy chapter 34 verse 9. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses, who had a measure of it, had laid his hands upon him. You cannot give what you don't have. If he gave it to Joshua, it meant that he had a reserve of it. So Moses was filled with wisdom, just as he was filled with power. The power that divided the Red Sea needs to be translated to the power that will build the tabernacle. The power for deliverance needed to be translated to the power of establishment. The same source. You will recall yesterday we said, God of power is God of wisdom. Jesus of power is Jesus of wisdom. Holy Spirit of power is Holy Spirit of wisdom. Church of power is Church of wisdom. A minister of power is a minister or can become a minister of wisdom. If you receive it, say, I receive it. So the same dimension at which God is operating in your life for healings, for deliverance, for miracles, is the same dimension that he can operate in your life with wisdom. With wisdom. As I speak forth the word of God right now, and by the power of the wisdom of God that is here, I see it transmitted to you right now. Now, somebody is wondering, did Moses ever get wisdom from anywhere? Acts chapter 7, verse 22. Acts chapter 7, verse 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom. He was learned. Now, you see, there is the spirit of wisdom, and there is the learning of wisdom, and there is the counsel of wisdom. Moses acquired the three. There is the spirit of wisdom, which is endowed upon us. And God gave Solomon. He endowed him. And the secret was revealed unto Daniel. That's endowed wisdom. But we don't stop there. We also learn wisdom. Moses learned the wisdom. There is wisdom by endowment. There is wisdom by learning. And there is wisdom by counsel. Remember, Moses took counsel from his father-in-law. He combined all of it together to lead the people.
As anointed as he was, he would have died before his time, except for the counsel of his father-in-law. So we need these three dimensions of wisdom to establish, to build successful ministry. Ministry that will last. Exodus 18, 21, 25, he took counsel from his father-in-law. Look at Paul also. He was decked with wisdom from above. He talked about the wisdom from above. If you read from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. He said, we speak not according to the wisdom of this world. 1 Corinthians, please. But according to the wisdom that is given to us for the glory of the church. But inasmuch as he was endowed with wisdom in a mystery, he also gave himself to reading. He gave himself to learning. There is no doubt, if you look at the story of Covenant University, it is crafted by the wisdom of God. Wisdom from above. God's servant, our father, had never worked in any university administration before, but God gave him inspiration about Covenant University. But he didn't stop there. He also had to learn the wisdom. According to him, he gathered materials from 9 universities. Topmost universities. The kind that is being desired will be the standard or the reference point for this university. And see where the university is today. And of course, 2 council called a lot of people who are members of the church, professors. Come, this is what you want to do. What do you have to say? These 3 levels of wisdom is required for us to build ministries that will last. My little way, I don't stop at just praying for the wisdom of God. I do all kinds of readings. Anything management, anything under administration, beyond just reading spiritual books. Because administration is administration, whether in ministry or in factory. You are dealing with people, human relations. Many of us are lacking in human relations. That's why our ministries are not being built. Learning. I'm not just a follower of God's servant, Bishop Oyedepo. I'm also a staff in this ministry. And I have employment later. There are many perhaps seated here who have people working with them without employment later. One day they will take you to court. I pray it will not happen. Why? We learn those things from everywhere around us. Paul put in place the structure to run the churches. No assumption. We heard a lot about the structures being communicated to us through God's servant with documents, evidences of the works being done to secure the future of this ministry. So did Paul. His letters were consciously, deliberately written to address issues that are still relevant to the church today. Were it not for Paul, perhaps we would not have so much references that we have to today's church problems. Think about issues of divorce. It was there, very clear. Issues of marriage, very clear. Issues of church administration, very clear. Issues of ordination, very clear. That we are making reference to today, he was a master builder, as he described himself. He put structure in place for the running of the churches. He was not only a church planter, he was a church administrator. He was a church manager. He assigned Titus in Titus chapter 1 verse 5 to put in place the things that are wanting. That they should ordain elders for the administration of the churches that were being planted. That's why the church of Jesus is still standing strong till today. How then do we assess this builder's wisdom? Quickly with me, please. Number one, by walking in the fear of the Lord. The number one requirement for access to heaven's wisdom is walking in the fear of God. Job 28, verse 28. That entire chapter is highly educative, talking about search for wisdom. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. If you walk in the fear of God, it's automatic for you to enjoy wisdom. And what is the fear of the Lord? To depart from evil. In addition to this, you can read from Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. We had a clear word from God's servant again this morning on conscience. Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord. Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, is the foundation for wisdom. A good understanding of all they that do his commandments is praise endured forever. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, repeating the same thing, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Two examples quickly. Joseph, Genesis 42, 18, but I feared the Lord. What was the outcome? Chapter 41, verse 38. And Pharaoh said to his servant, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Verse 39. And Pharaoh said unto him, for as much as God has shewed thee all this, there is none discreet and wise as thou. Joseph, the one who walked in the fear of the Lord, became the custodian of the wisdom of God. Second example, Daniel, chapter 1, verse 7. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with the king's meat. Verse 8. He will not defile himself. Others may go using method and defile himself, but he will not defile himself. And what was the outcome? Verse 19 and verse 20. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, one who feared the Lord. Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah therefore stood day before the king. Verse 20. And in all matters of wisdom. You see, when you walk in the fear of God, you gain access to wisdom of all matters. You'll be operating as if you studied and learned those things. You'll be commanding attention from everywhere. That the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all magicians. They were all in the same class. Their teacher stood before them teaching them, but God was teaching the four from heaven. Vertical inspiration. He was loading them with things that their teachers did not teach them. Walking in the fear of God. Number two, how do you assess the builder's wisdom? By being spiritual. We had a lot about this in the afternoon. Luke chapter 2 verse 14, concerning Jesus. Jesus grew and was strong in the spirit, very spiritual. And the product of that spirituality was that he was filled with wisdom. Spirituality will always command intellectualism of the highest order. Walk strong in the spirit, but at the same time, wiser than all men. Number three, how do you assess the builder's wisdom? By continuously craving for fresh baptism of it. Please understand that the builder's wisdom is the spirit of wisdom. So just as we crave for power, we can crave for wisdom. Just as we long for power, we can long for wisdom. Just as we are thirsty and hungry for power, we can be for wisdom. That is the experience of Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 to 9, the Lord appeared to him and said, hey, Solomon, what should I do to you? What should I give to you? And Solomon said, you know, I'm a child. I don't know how to go out and to come in. I don't know the difference between my right hand and my left hand. You see, God gives only to those who accept their emptiness. Until you acknowledge your nothingness, God never makes you something. Until you acknowledge that you don't have it, God will not give it to you. Solomon said, I don't have it. And God said, if that is the case, I will give it to you. At the onset of this ministry, God's servant said, he began to ask himself the question, what will I preach? What will I say? How will I run the ministry? Won't everything I know finish in 1 year? And the Lord said to him, call for my servant. It was out of that craving for wisdom that the call was made, so hands could be laid on him for the release of the spirit of wisdom. And it is showing today. It will show in your ministry shortly. If it has been showing, it will show bigger than ever before. There must be a craving for the spirit of wisdom. Number three, how do we assess the builder's wisdom? Number four, rather, please. We can assess this wisdom by spontaneously praying for it. You are faced with certain situations. You don't know what to do. Does anyone lack wisdom? Let him ask for it. James chapter 1, verses 5, all the way to 7. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. There are moments we are faced with challenges, not knowing what to do. We can call for it spontaneously. Daniel chapter 2, verses 16 to 19, the king vowed he will kill all of the counselors if they couldn't interpret the dream. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he will give him time and that he will show the interpretation. And then he consulted with his companions and they went into prayer. And in verse 19, then was the secret. The secret there connotes wisdom. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. He got inspiration from heaven to be able to interpret the dream. Number five, we can assess the builder's wisdom by reading, studying, and meditating in the word. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 to 15. Until I come, give attendance to reading. Keep searching, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift of God that which is in you, and which was given by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. And verse 15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Unimaginable answers appears to us through meditation. Actually, meditation means thinking through the word till you find the solution you are looking for. The word of God is the bank of wisdom. And for as long as we keep meditating on it, we keep encountering answers to every situation of our lives. Challenges get dissolved meditating through the word of God, finding our way out, planning into our future. Psalm 119, verses 97 to 100, clearly shows to us how we can assess greater wisdom via meditation. You will note that Paul the wise was also Paul the reader. Paul the wise was Paul the reader. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, he was a very great reader. Another way by which we can assess the wisdom of God in building is by following the path of the wise, either by physical contact or through their resource materials. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, we can always assess it. Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask of the whole path, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein. In our journeys in life, there are those who have gone ahead of us, whose steps we can follow. whose pattern we can follow. Many years ago, God's servant told us this story, how that while he was in his study, someday, the Lord brought the picture of Kenneth Hagin to him and said, build your ministry after the pattern of this man. Pattern your ministry after this man. Pattern your ministry after this man. So every time he's in a situation, he gets back to his books, following the plan of God for your life. He has told us severally of how by following the pattern of that ministry, rest has come to him. So there are individuals that we can pattern our ways after, especially those who have gone ahead of us, who have done it better than we are doing. Upon whose life we cannot see sweat and struggle. Things are working as if they are not working. We can follow their pattern. That was also the style of Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the status of David, his father. We live in a generation that despises fathers today. Fathers will always be in front. We can follow after their paths in order not to miss our ways. We can follow after their path in order not to miss our ways. It's our responsibility, therefore, to sit down and find out who are the ones who have succeeded in building veritable ministries and pattern after them. May we receive wisdom for that in the name of Jesus. May we receive wisdom for that in the name of Jesus. On the final note in this teaching, let's quickly check what is unique about wisdom from above. What will this wisdom that is required for building to last offer to us? Number one, this order of wisdom will turn you and your ministry into a wonder to behold. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 54, they looked at Jesus and they said, when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, whence are this man, this wisdom, and these mighty works? His wisdom was not just about mighty words, but mighty works. What gives worth to a man is his mighty works, not mighty words. There are those whose words are very sweet, you almost lick their mouth. But no works to back it up. You may be applauded for your words, but people will only regard you for your works. People will copy you for your works, not for your words. Several times I see a lot of people whose attitude changes when they see your works. When they meet you outside, they look at you small. But when they visit you and they see your works, they stand up for you. Nothing commands attention like your works. So your wisdom must be translated into works. No matter how much grammar you can speak, you will soon expire. It is your work that endures. When they rose up against Jesus to stone him, Jesus said, for what are you trying to stone me? For the works I did? They said, no, not for the works you did. You are doing a good job, but for the words you have spoken. Nobody condemns you for the works you have done, no matter how many people hate you for the words you speak. Your works. So our wisdom of words must be converted to wisdom of works. Wisdom of works. Your words may not make news, but your work will always make news. Look at Covenant University here. A number of times, vice chancellors of other universities in Nigeria have come to Covenant University here. Muslim, animist, Christians, nobody argues. And when they give microphone to them to speak, one of them, a foremost university in the north, said, sir, I want to make a request from you. Can you become my mentor? Why? The works are speaking. Your work will speak. I say your work will be speaking. You see, when you have works to back up ministry that is undeniable, people easily believe you. For except they see signs, except they see your works, they will not believe. What commands followership is your works, not your words. People may forget your words, but they can never forget your works. Say loud, amen. I've sat among many intellectuals before, and they are commending the works going on in certain ministries represented here. Undeniable. They talk about the schools, they talk about the community work, they talk about the various things, how the church is affecting lives. I've heard about one of us here, very specific, Pastor David, who built some gigantic hostel for the state university out there. You can't go there and they will say, look, there's no entrance for you here. Automatic entrance. Several times I hear about Pastor Paul and his wife doing medical outreaches in the community, touching lives. Who will stone them? If you dare to, people will fight you because of their works they are doing. Because of the works. So we must graduate wisdom of what into wisdom of works. God's servant told us the story how that he went to for a function in Ogun State. And one major Islamic organization in the West here, the head of that organization met him and said, sir, we thank God for what you are doing. My son was in your university. He learned morals. When he returned home, everything just changed in the house. Will that man allow anybody to stone him? No. Several times they wanted to catch Jesus, they couldn't lay their hands on him because of his works. People's lives won't be as touched. Our ministry must be built on this order of wisdom that produces works. Not just words. Produces works. Not just words. Produces works. That's why ministry whose wisdom have been translated into words cannot easily die. They cannot easily die. Look at Daniel. Chapter 5, verse 13 and verse 14. In the first place, when the king had a problem, the queen had to call the king and told him, look, don't worry yourself. There is a man in your kingdom. Then was Daniel brought. Let's get back to verse 13 so we can save time. Then was Daniel brought before the king. And the king spake unto Daniel and said, art that thou, Daniel? You don't look like it. I'm sure Daniel must have been a soft-spoken person. You don't look like it. Are you the one of the children of the captivity of Judah? His background was a very poor one, captivity. I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that you have light and understanding, and excellent wisdom is found in you. Therefore, the floor is released to you. Everywhere the church make impacts, doors are open to the church. Let us translate our words of wisdom to works of wisdom so we can become a wonder among people. What is unique about wisdom from above? It commands attention of kings. I checked through the scripture. I've not found where Solomon traveled out of Jerusalem. Yet all the kings of the heart came to him. We are talking of wisdom that does not make noise to make news. We have heard God's servant said he's not been out of the country for many years because God told him to stay here. Yet people keep trooping to this place. 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29, all the way to 34. And God gave Solomon wisdom. And there came all, let's get to the last verse to save time. And there came all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the heart, which heard of his wisdom. They came from everywhere. When wisdom is at work, it commands attention, not just of men, but of kings. The queen of Sheba went to visit him in 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 4 to 7. And the queen said, look, when I heard about all of these things, my breath left me. Wonder, when I saw all the things going on here, I felt small. My wisdom left me. That is what this wisdom from above does. This wisdom also unveils the glory of the church. Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 19 to 21. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. As a result of their thanking me, I will multiply them. They shall not be few. I will glorify them also. They shall not be small. Nobles will come out of them. Governors will come out of them. Because according to scriptures, wisdom is what brings glory to the wise. Or rather, wisdom attracts glory. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 35. We saw how that this wisdom also attracted audience for Paul the apostle. Being the most endowed with wisdom among the apostles, he commanded the attention of multitudes all through his earthly ministry. In 2 years, his fame went across Asia, everywhere the gospel was sounding. And like we remarked earlier, he also wrote half of the New Testament, where he laid down the order by which the church should operate. We can therefore see that the spiritual sequence is that as wisdom continues to flow in increasing dimension from our altars, the number of people coming to receive will also continue to increase. As wisdom increases, the church continues to grow. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 11. When goods increase, that is wisdom, there are increase that eat them. When good increases, there are increase that eat them. This is why we must continue to go after the wisdom of God, the wisdom from above that will take us above, because he that is from above is above all. The church of Jesus is meant to be above, and through you, in the assignment God has committed to you, shall continue to be above in the community where you are preaching from. In the name of Jesus Christ. The word of God increased, the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Will you therefore join me as we rise to pray right now, craving for this wisdom, the wisdom from above. Let's pray for this wisdom right now. Father, I want the wisdom. The wisdom that will translate from words into works. There will be an amazement that will attract multitude from everywhere. The wisdom that builds to last. I crave for it right now. I receive it right now. I crave for it right now. I receive it right now. I crave for it right now. I receive it right now. I crave for it right now. Somebody call for it. Receive it from the Lord. He's releasing it to us right now. If any man lack wisdom, let him pray for it. As you pray for it, heaven is delivering it right now. As you pray for it, heaven is delivering it right now. As you pray for it, heaven is delivering it to you right now.